It's time to say very good morning to Peter Allam. We are looking at legal matters today and looking at buying and selling property and what you need to have in place. Peter, very good morning and welcome.
It's morning, Wayne. Morning to all our listeners out there. I know there are a hell of a lot of them that listen to us, which is great. Continuously get a tap on the shoulder in the supermarket and say, Al, we enjoy your chat, you know, every Monday morning. So a lot of people are streaming it, which is fantastic.
Which is great. Anyway, and thank you very much.
Yeah. Today we'll chat about, you know, what the seller and buyer must have in order for a sale to go through. In no particular order, I'm just going to touch on a whole lot of different things in the conveyancing section, which all form part of a transaction. So we can start with the question that everybody asks: who pays what and who elects the attorney? Let's start with who elects the attorney. In the Eastern Cape, it is the seller, not the buyer. The seller does that. I say to my friends and clients and that, be careful of agents convincing you to go somewhere, because that person is then not going to act in your best interest. You might, some people have smooth transfers that go through, but you need to make sure that your attorney does it for you, looks after you, and is successful in that regard. Don't be conned into that. And then who pays for what? Yes, the seller. You as the seller pay the estate agent's commission. You're responsible for the cost of the electrical, wood borer, gas clearance certificates. It depends on what's in the sale agreement once again. The costs of cancelling any existing bond you may have. Sometimes people say, oh, I paid my bond years ago, but did you cancel it? You know, the bond can still be in existence, so be careful of that. The municipalities here in the Eastern Cape insist on 3 months in advance payment of electricity and water, which they estimate. It is refundable after the transfer. This is something that a lot of attorneys, for some unknown reason, don't do for their clients. When you finish, make sure that you ask your attorney, have you transferred the water and lights accounts? When can I expect my refund? Can be done online, because our municipality is online. And then, you know, the rates until the expected date of transfer, also times 3 months normally. That's there. And you'll pay capital gains tax if there's any. That your accountant will tell you what the position is with that. So if that's what the seller pays, what does the buyer pay? The buyer, the purchaser, he's got the VAT or transfer duty. You know, it's one of the two. Sometimes it can be zero rated in certain circumstances. He'll have the transfer costs, which the attorney will give him. He'll have the, you know, sometimes on rare occasions, the sale agreement says that the purchaser must pay for the electrical wood borer and gas clearance. Don't be conned into that, but, you know, sometimes agents are clever enough to put that in and farm it off onto the purchaser. So watch that. If you're going to take a bond, you'll have bond registration costs. You might have bond raising fees to the bank. And, of course, you've got that, once again, that pro rata share of rates and taxes. And, of course, the electricity and water can play a role there as well. So that's a case of who elects, who pays what. But if we go to all the different little items or headings regarding that, your checklist basically is that these are the type of things you need. Like we mentioned, your title deed. You need your title deed to proceed with the transfer. So if your house is paid up in full, you should normally have your title deed. If you've lost it or can't find it, it's going to cost you quite a bit of money. Every single day in our newspaper, we see lost title deed advertisements. So be careful as well with the attorney that you've got. A good attorney will make sure that if you've lost it, they do a simultaneous registration of the sale and the lost title deed. Because otherwise, if you do the one and it goes into the deeds office, you've got to wait for the title deed to come back. So be careful in that regard. Your title deed, where is my title deed? The first thing you must check is whether or not you had a bond, whether or not anybody's got any sort of hold on it. So if you had a bond, there was a necessity for you to cancel that bond. So it doesn't automatically be cancelled, and the bank doesn't automatically give you your title deed back. So start there. If you had a bond, probably easiest, you know, if you yet Adams, we've got our checklist, and the first thing we'll ask you is, where's your title deed? Did you have a bond? Or if you have a current bond, give us your bond account. So they're going to call for the bond account to make sure that they got all the documents that they need for the registration at a later stage. In this day and age, something that has come into it, which is very, very good, is make sure that when you're buying, you ask for the plans. So as a seller, make sure that you have proper plans for the house. Don't buy a house and find that the old owner has added on a kitchen, added on a flatlet, converted the garage, put a swimming pool in and put a pool room and all the rest of it. Make sure that you check the plans. If it's in a gated area, you'll have the homeowners association rules and regulations, constitution and the like that you need to check out. Make sure that, you know, you're aware of that. The agent should be good enough, if you're going through an agent, to give you all of that, show you what it is, and invariably they, well, when the transfer goes through, they will make you sign that you will abide by the rules and regulations, constitution and the like. So make sure that you're aware of that. Wood borer, like I said, that is the duty. Electrical, wood borer, and gas. Those three come together. Wood borer is not compulsory in the Eastern Cape, but it's a very good thing to ask for, and I always suggest that it is done before you move in. So, you know, like I say, the seller must pay for that. Make sure that it's in like that. Make sure that you're not conned into sorting that out. Electric fence fits into that same category now. Very important that if there is an electric fence around the property, that there is a clearance certificate for that as well. So your clearance certificate is of utmost importance. The next thing that's compulsory these days is a snag list. And this is where there are a lot of hassles recently. Make sure that you inspect the property correctly. Make sure that you look at the roof in particular. Make sure that you ask questions as a buyer. What is wrong with the property? Ask them to point it out. Make sure that it's added by the agent or by the homeowner to the snag list that is necessary. Every agent has a duty to produce a snag list. So when you're going to sell, you need to put on the snag list. It doesn't help you to paint a wall in the house which had a bit of dampness and then say, oh, you know, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
you'll get caught. Believe you me, you'll get caught. Dampness doesn't just come out a week or two after you purchased a home. It must have been existing. So be careful there. Don't get caught with that. Rates clearance. The attorneys will do a rates clearance, but make sure that you've been paying your rates. Make sure that you make your rates account available to your attorney who's going to help you so that they can check it. Same, your water and lights account. We at Alums ask you to let us have your water and lights account that we can just check that out as well. Take a photo of your water reading. Send it to us that we can check in East London with Amatola what the position is, that you're up to date and that you've been paying it and that there are no hassles there. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the choice of an attorney is done by the seller. You need to make sure that you are protected. But my advice to both a seller and a buyer is the seller, make sure you choose your own attorney. Don't get conned into using somebody else. Don't let them speak nonsense and say this attorney is faster than that attorney. Or we deal with this attorney and we know that he does it properly and things like that. All attorneys are very, very capable of doing transfers. Your own attorney, go to him first. And I say in that regard is that, you know, once you've nominated an attorney, don't just sign anything. If you get an offer and you're the seller, take it to your attorney. He will not charge you to read that because you've nominated him as the attorney. Certainly at Alums, if you come to us, we will do it at no charge at all. Only a pleasure to help you and make sure that your sale goes smoothly and that the document you're signing is in order. I say the same to a buyer. If I have clients out there that are going to buy and they can't get us to do the sale for them because another attorney has been nominated by the seller, then I say, take the time and come here at a small nominal fee, a one-off consultation fee. We will check the agreement thoroughly for you. Make sure that all these points that we're talking about now are there and sorted. So it's very important. It's a legal document you're entering into. No matter how much experience your agent has, they are not the attorney or the conveyancer that can tell you what is and what shouldn't be in an agreement. So make sure that you just take the time to spend a little bit of money on a big investment that you make.
Yes, yes.
You're going to be FICA'd. These days it's compulsory for all attorneys and that to do proper FICA form. The estate agents, likewise, their act provides that they've got to FICA you. So nothing new when they ask you to be FICA'd. You normally, when buying, will be asked by the attorney to sign documents for an investment account. This is the norm, so that your money goes into there and earns interest for you until such time as the sale goes through. So, you know, it goes back to the finance part. You know, you can go to a bank now without even any idea of wanting to buy and see how much you qualify for. That doesn't mean when you find a house that you automatically can buy that house because you're within the bracket.
Yeah.
The bank will still come out to inspect and make sure that they find value in it. So, you know, be cautious there. But something worthwhile doing if you're a first-time homeowner or wanting to buy, go to whoever your banker is and say, look, I want to buy something. We're looking at selling and buying new property. What do we qualify? And they'll be able to give you an indication in that regard. So finance is very important. You need to know what the finance is and what's going to happen with your financing. You don't want to get caught where you can't get finance and you're halfway into a sale and you're perhaps bound by it. So be careful in that regard. If we go then onto the terms of the agreement, that I'm saying the reason why you must go to an attorney is because there are a whole lot of little conditions that the ordinary man in the street doesn't know of. So, you know, you get suspensive conditions, which relates to finance, approval thereof. Sometimes you've got to sell your property before you can buy another one. Make sure that you're not going to have a delay there and lose it because of the deadlines that there are with that. They will put you to a certain date and say that's the time it must be done by. You may well have an agreement. Some agreements say that, you know, you want the property inspected by an expert. You're entitled to say that. And then, of course, confirmation of the conditions of title. You know, you must make sure that you know what that is. When you come to the title as well, make sure that you are aware where the boundary points are of your home that you're purchasing. You know, don't just go in and you have a look and you see, and then you find out, oh, you've been mowing the lawn behind us because it's a vacant plot for years, and you think it's your yard and it's not. So, and it normally says that the buyer must pay for that. Be careful in that regard and have a proper look at it. Those suspensive conditions are very good. Another thing that's common these days is that people don't understand the footstool clause. You know, footstool means what you see is what you get. As is. So if you walk into a house and there's dampness or a leaking roof and that, that footstool clause will be applicable. But the snag list should list all of those problems. So problems arise when you can't see something and it's hidden. You know, make sure you move a couch. If you're buying a house, don't walk in and say, oh, the lounge is beautiful. Move the couch to make sure that there's no rising dampness. My good old friend, the plumber, Matt, told me that it only goes up 1 meter, never goes higher than 1 meter rising dampness. So make sure that you pull away couches, tables, and the like, and maybe against the wall and have a proper look at it. You know, a purchaser must make sure that they know what they are buying and what is in the footstool clause. The seller can't hide behind it anymore, but it's very interesting. And like they say, what you see is what you get. So be careful if it's visible. You're in trouble. That the list that they must give you is a full and proper list that must give you everything that's wrong with the house. Very important. So if you're going to sell, make sure you start preparing your list. Don't leave anything out. Don't forget to check your old cellar where you've been putting all your excess building material, rubble and the like. You know, when the purchaser buys, the cellar must be empty. You're not selling a house with a cellar full of rubbish. as they call it. So be careful there as well. Fixtures and fittings, very important as well when you buy. Don't get yourself into a situation where you buy something and you say, oh, there was a beautiful blind in that room. What happened to it? You know, you need to list that. Like swimming pool as well. There's always a problem with swimming pool. People think they can take the nets and the brooms and the creepy crawly away. You must include that in the list to say that it is inclusive of that. So the best thing to do is when you're buying is make sure that you make a list of what there is and that you say, okay, that's what's included in my sale, and then it's listed. Then there can be no argument in that regard. So, yeah, that's basically where we are, Wayne, with what is required and you know, what is what.
That's it's a pretty scary process. And Peter, if I can ask, let's say, for instance, hypothetically, I'm now maybe a first-time home buyer. You know, you've saved up money, you've got your deposits, and you maybe newly married. You know, that whole sort of happy family type scenario.
Everything, spoken about everything that there is to check on. If anybody has a query, my advice is always go to the attorney, not only with the sale of a house. If you're going to buy a business, if you're going to enter into a contract, if you're going to get married and you need, advice in that regard, go and see an attorney. It is not expensive. You will get attorneys with a once-off. You know, to spend between 600 and 1,000 rand and get proper advice is better than entering into something that bites you in the bum later and you've got a damages claim or the house. What you wanted and fight as a husband and wife, and the wife's no longer happy there, and you've got to up and sell and you lose a hell of a lot of money that way. Because you now want a quick sale to get out of it. So I always say your attorney is your best bet. Go see him and let him sort for you.
So they would be able to kind of give you a checklist and an estimate at least of what this whole exercise is likely to cost you. Because, you know, I'm thinking, and I think I actually read somewhere that property transactions, thinking from a point of view of a man in the street, is probably one of the most stressful things that they'll probably ever do in their lives. In the buying and selling of a house and moving and everything else that's involved.
Absolutely. It's a big move. You know, I always say that it's the same as having a baby. Your whole life changes when you buy that house. You know, it's something new. It's got all the hidden expenses. You know, people also continuously come along to us and say, okay, in fact, I had it this weekend. Somebody said to me, I'm going to buy a house for 1.5 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to get that. I've been to the bank and is your transfer duty and transfer costs. You know, you need to find out what that is so that you've got the money on hand.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of what I was getting at. You know, it's all good and well that you go into this whole process very excitedly and then you find, oops, you know, we need money for this, we need money for that. We didn't bargain on whatever else was needed. That could, apart from being very stressful, it could scuttle the whole process.
Absolutely. Beware when you buy. It's a big move and it needs to be done correctly. You need to protect yourself and your interests.
Right.
Don't throw money away. Yeah.
And be careful. Peter, if somebody wants to reach you or Alam's attorneys for topics like this and others, how do they go about it?
They can like us on Facebook and then you'll get all the details in there. They'll pick up our chats every week on our Facebook page as well. You can go through and see the different topics there. Other than that, they can get us at 6 Sansom Road, Vincent, little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6, telephone number 043-721-0018. I repeat, 043-721-0018.
Great. So, Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting to you next week.
Thank you, Wayne. Enjoy your day and week as well.
Thanks a lot. And of course, this chat will be on our website later today. Just go to wildcoastradio.co.za and download to the podcast page and download the latest chat, date stamped today. And thanks very much to Peter for that as well.